If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome back to the second of our Shocktober wrap-up episodes for Who Would Win Masters. Today we're getting to the bottom of an awesome Halloween fright fight. We're reading your comments and your five-star reviews, so get ready to be scared by yourself. I am Sam Proof on all of the socials, and we're going to see how you voted and what you had to say about Buffy the Vampire Slayer versus Jason Voorhees. What's going on? And of course, I can't do this alone. The man in the shirt that has shown all of the things. It's got everything on it. Ray Stakanis, Ray, how are you doing?
I disagree with you completely. I think you could do this by yourself.
Maybe.
Just choose not to.
That's possible. I mean, the wrap-up,
I
for sure.
If you had to solo venture one of these, I think you could handle it. I'll just put it out there.
Probably. And it would probably be a lot shorter. So, depends what the people want, I suppose. It would be. I'd be like, here's the two good comments that I like, and these are the results. All right. But of course, we're not alone.
Yeah. Who would win history?
Like 5 minutes of Sam, 20 minutes of commercials. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. All right. And we're out. But of course, yeah, we're not alone. We are joined, of course, by several of our Patreon members, and you could be one of them if you join us on Patreon at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. Matthew Dawson in the chat says Ray should get a green shirt and just project whatever abstract art he wants on top of it. That's fair.
Well, today I'm
you could just key it.
Shirt.
I love that. That's a good one.
I got my big Cthulhu shirt today. I'm wearing it again. It's Halloween. It's either this or the David S. Pumpkins. And that one doesn't breathe very well. So I'm going to wear the more comfortable shirt tonight. Here we
nice.
Are.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, I was trying. I'm just normal me. I was trying to find something Halloween themed, but I don't know what survived the house fire, and I couldn't find anything fast enough. So you get the lazy version.
No. And to be fair, Sam Proof standard is a little spooky.
That's fair.
I'll put it out there.
I mean, it would be better if I didn't have to wear the headphones. I could at least put my signature hat on. That would be something. Get a little cyberpunk with y'all.
That's what we're talking about. That was, to be fair, a very important part of contract negotiations.
That's true.
Sam Proof not
we'll
being
get there.
Allowed to wear his signature hat.
I'll invest in earbuds.
Can't wear a hat, you can't wear a hat.
All right.
But we had a very exciting episode here of Buffy
the Vampire was good.
Slayer versus Jason Voorhees. I love this episode. I will say TV's Gina Ippolito, star of the new Rockstars YouTube family of channels, including The Witching Hour. If you're listening to this right now and you're able to just go find The Witching Hour new Rockstars on YouTube and subscribe to it, you probably should. She has an episode. She has a video on there about Nightmare on Elm Street and its history and its cultural implications and all that I thought was excellent. Very, very good. Very, very good video, and you should probably check it out if you get a chance to. Snurts agrees. Yeah. Lord Snurts is in our chat. He says it's a great video about Elm Street.
Nice. Yeah, no, I was so happy to have Gina on the show. She is a pleasure to work with and just so awesome at doing all of the things necessary to make a great battle happen. And she really knew this character. So yeah, this was, I think, the most head-to-head ever. Like, you may...
I knew coming into it that she was going to bring the heat. We've had a few guests, or I just knew right out the
door.
But I know Gina. I've known Gina for a long time now.
Yes.
There was no way she was going to leave anything on the table. She was going to come swinging, and she did.
For sure. Yeah, it was fantastic. It was well done by both of you. And without, further ado, maybe we should get into some of these reviews and see what the people had to say about it.
I'm trying just not to have a 5-minute show, Sam-proof.
That's no, we should segue more?
No, I think we're doing great. And I think that there is a lot of stuff to get through, a lot of comments.
Yeah, there, three new this reviews looks like a lot. Week. I mean, that's if you nice. Really want to pull things down, I am doing a session zero on a new D&D campaign in which I play a turtle. So I could just do everything in the voice for that character that I'm using. And it might bring our times to 7 minutes.
Even the cat's mad at you right now. Anyway, review number one. My board here says Sam is going to kick us off here.
All right, I'll do this. So this is, what is it? The username is the second thing. It's Bim Boom Gloopy. Says, a fight I want to see. I want an episode of Who Would Win Masters, Invincible versus Homelander. Yeah, we all just want one episode. Just Invincible versus Homelander. But I also want to see Samurai Jack versus Metal Bat. Sorry, I don't know where that came from. One Punch Man. I don't know enough
don't
One
know
Punch,
One
Man.
Punch Man.
Yeah.
I don't know it enough to know who Metal Bat is. I'm aware of Saitama? Mm-hmm. Sativa? What's his name?
I'm not More than sure I know.
Exactly.
Right.
That's fine. He's the One Punch Man. That's all you need to say.
And
Matthew Dawson makes a very good point here in our comments section. It'd be an honor to watch Ray lose with Homelander for the 100th time. I have tried Homelander a few times. I felt like I've had some pretty good arguments, if I can be quite candid with you about it. But Homelander never wins, despite the fact that in his own universe, he is the biggest bad to have ever big bad. In any other universe, against any other character, nobody gives him respect. And I think that's a shame. I think there's a lot of characters Homelander would destroy, but he's only ever put up against Superman-type characters, and he just doesn't have the feats that they do. So it's always an uphill battle.
Yeah, I mean, have you not done
Burn? I think you could take that one.
Yeah, have you not already done Invincible versus Homelander?
We've done Invincible on the show. We've done his dad on the show. We've done Homelander, and I once repped the entire seven.
Oh, wow.
Before. And no, I don't think any of those, well, the Invincible ones did, and the Omni-Man.
All right.
Like the two, Homelander by himself or with the seven, they just never win. They never win.
Sure.
It's a bummer. I'm going to read the next one here. This review is titled, Read This, Ray or Sam. Well, you got me. I hope that's good enough. This is from Copyrighted Issue 2. He's done reviews before. He's refreshing. He says, can you do Kenny, Kyle, Eric, a.k.a. Cartman, Stan, and Jimbo from South Park versus the A-Team, including Liz Allen, but not B.A.? He's way too OP. Hashtag Ray is right. Hashtag headphone. Hashtag Sam's decision song.
People there you go.
People love the Sam's decision
nice.
Song.
Nice. Love
I
it.
Say about that.
All right. Yeah.
And, I have not done South Park on the show. I don't know that I kind of want to do South Park on the show. I know on the other Who Would Win show on this network,
they just did
a South Park themed episode.
Right.
So I don't think the timing is right for it, period.
For sure. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not the biggest fan of South Park. I don't love what they do over there. So I don't really, it's not a property I feel like I need to prop up, you know?
It's a weird battle for me. I don't know. Like, I'm willing to oversee anything because I just have to make the calls and keep the show going. So it's not up to me to win. But yeah, that seems like a really weird team up. Not that the one that we just did was any less weird.
Oh, no, fair. Like we do normal ones. It just occurred to me, we could do this. Tell me if people want to see this. South Park characters in their D&D campaign as those characters versus the animated Dungeons & Dragons part from the cartoon show
That's
from the
cool.
80s.
Yeah.
Is that I don't know enough about their role-playing campaign, but they did make video games based off of it that we could probably draw from. Is that an idea that people would get on board with? Comment below and let me know.
I'm intrigued. I don't know enough about the D&D side of South Park, but I'm intrigued by that concept for sure. All right. Yeah. The last review before we get into the final vote and the comments and all that. This is titled Who Would Win? So we know you're in the right place.
Thank God.
This is from
getting reviews for Cooking with Grandma Witherspoon.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is Ray's other podcast. So
you don't know.
Get into that
other show. It's a real niche show.
Yeah. Still wears that shirt, though.
I do.
This is from hi, this is Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Okay. Hi, Jay. This is Sam. Ghostface versus John Wick.
Man, I don't know about that one. I mean, look, Ghostface, he is in the new Mortal Kombat, doing a lot of super meta stuff, but John Wick just would shoot the heck out of him.
That's what
I
think,
The only way Ghostface has a chance here is if the big reveal at the end is that Ghostface is John Wick.
Right.
And then I don't know what to do with it at that point.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't know. Thank you for the review. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Matthew Dawson says, what is Ghostface going to do? Ghostface is the dog. There you go. That's right.
There you go. Thank you, Matthew Dawson. That is absolutely true. Mortal versus Zone, Matthew Dawson. I will mention this. You probably already know this because this episode came out on Tuesday. Mortalverse on the Who Would Win network is changing days. Mortalverse episodes are now going to consistently start coming out on Mondays. So your weekly schedule, and it's only going to be Mondays where there's a wrap-up episode. So you're going to have Mortalverse Mondays, which quite frankly should have already been a thing. Then you're going to have Who Would Win Masters on Tuesdays, and then Unleashed on Thursdays. That's what's going to happen. So get ready for your MVM, and then your Masters Tuesday. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. It's somebody smart come up with something, because I can't. Anyway, we're going to stay on Tuesdays. I like that day. And Mortal Versus moving from Fridays to Mondays on weeks that the wrap-up comes out. So know this going in. And Sam, is this a good opportunity before we get to the actual fan votes? We are building a new Instagram channel and a new YouTube channel.
Yes.
It's for not our quite own up yet as we record this or as this airs. We probably need another week or two to get all the fine tuning and details done. But we're going to have new social media just for Who Would Win Masters.
Yeah.
We felt that after a boardroom meeting that sharing the Who Would Win network Instagram was getting too crowded on there. And that we would just be better served. And the YouTube channel as well. We just want to have our own thing that only shows our stuff. So that way the algorithm doesn't get, you know, weird. If people don't like one video, they might not check out ours. That kind of a thing. And that happens. So we'd rather just have complete control over that social media. And we're going to, and we'll announce it here on the next episode of the wrap up. So just keep an eye on our social media as exists right now. We'll try to give you all the changes. We'll definitely have it on Patreon. And we'll definitely, on 2 weeks from now, on the next wrap-up episode, for an episode I think you guys are going to get a kick out of. We'll get to that later. We're going to have all that info. So just keep an eye out, and please give us some follows and likes and subscribes when you get a chance to.
As soon as we tell you where to go.
As soon as we tell you where to go, which we don't actually know yet. We're still putting it together.
We'll get it.
So.
All right.
Now it's time for the fans' decision. Do I need to get I have Sam's decision. Do I need a
fan I was just going to say, we need a fan theme song, right? The fan theme song is just the drum roll. Do we need to stretch it that far? All right.
I could, yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. Are we ready for are you ready for this,
Let's
Sam?
Do it. Yeah.
Here we go. Maybe.
Fair enough.
Maybe.
Add it in post.
I'm going to have to add it in post. It's not working.
That's fine. I'll just do this. With 80% of the vote, people, your winner in Buffy versus Jason is... What was this? Well, that's cross six. Great.
All right, sorry. I wanted something there. And that's
all right.
Something that popped up.
With 80% of the vote... Did I say with the boat? 80% of the boat. We're going to need a bigger vote. It's Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Well, this is outrageous.
Gem is outrageous. That means that Ray with Jason has achieved only 20%. However, has come to my attention. Check this out. Come to my attention that the good people over at the Mortalverse, who have a Discord, a social media we have not attempted to make of our own, but let us know if we should. Matt, I was actually going to talk to you about that after the show and be like, should we do a Discord? I don't know. Do we do it?
Knowing has a Discord.
All right.
We could just like add people to that Discord and just make it a double show Discord with different sections.
Is that a thing? Yeah, we could do that. We could do that. Split Discord.
I guarantee you, Sam, there a lot more than I am.
Probably. I have Discord open every day. All the damn time.
I hardly use it.
But apparently they have run their own poll.
Yes.
Completely against regulations. There's no merit to this whatsoever. I just had to put that out there.
This is unofficial.
It's an unofficial poll. And according to the Mortalverse Discord poll, the winner is, with 56% of the vote, Jason Voorhees.
How about that? I trust the unofficial votes to the official Patreon fan votes.
Yep.
Now, I will say that the people at Mortalverse clearly know this show better than the people on Patreon. I don't know how that's possible, but it is. And to be fair, and according to Matthew Dawson, this is very unimportant information, but his poll is before the episode drops. It's their prediction for who would win before the debate. That doesn't matter.
Okay, so it's before the debate.
From the poll, I believe that now here's the deal. I definitely need some more of you on Patreon. Patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. I don't like it when Sam's always right and Sam always gets the votes.
What is that?
Right.
200? 200 now?
More Radiacs in there. We need more hashtag awkward allies in our official Who Would Win Show Patreon in order to, like, come on, right the ship here. Obviously, I won that battle. 20%, I'm a little embarrassed about. Not for me. I know I did great. I'm embarrassed for you, the people, for just not showing up, not coming through.
Wow. So again, with the Mortalverse Discord vote, unofficial, they don't even know who's repping the characters at that point, right? Is that's what you're telling me? They're just getting the characters.
They just have the battle. According to Matthew Dawson, he lost to Goku versus Sonic on that poll in his own server and had to ban everyone who voted for Goku. I don't blame you. I'm about to ban some people for Patreon.
There you go.
Sorry.
Don't do it.
We need new Patreon blood. Like $1, people. $1 a month. We don't ask a lot. I just want to get people in the door to show them some cool stuff, let them vote, let them do the thing.
I mean, maybe we should do it where they do $2, they get two votes. I don't know. Is that a thing?
There you go. Well, let's talk about that after the show. Snurt says Ray doesn't want my money. That's because I know where it's been, Snurts.
Gross.
How dare you? This show is already off track completely. But we do have this. Look, we got comments. We have quite a few comments on this one.
We got a lot.
Good battle. A lot of listeners, good numbers for it. I appreciate that from everybody at home listening. And Lord Snurts leads us off. He has our first comment right here. On Matthew's Discord poll, I voted for Jason/Ray. After hearing the episode, I think Buffy/Gina won the match. How dare you? I'm also influenced by a death battle episode featuring Buffy versus Blade. That's interesting. Who would put Blade in a Who Would Win battle? That's crazy. Anyway,
I didn't
know she had so many tricks up her sleeve. Also, Gina knows how to get under Ray's skin. After a decade plus on knowing half the podcast, she got
that
him riled
true.
Up, which made for an entertaining show.
Definitely. It was a winner of a show for sure. Great battle, great guest. Everything was so awesome. What was that comment? It was a great match. Yes. That is from Snurts.
It was a great match.
Yeah. Loved the energy. It was awesome. Yeah. All right. Moving on. Dwayne Fauci. Is that even close? Said neither.
Just Dr. Fauci.
Doc, I don't know about that. Says neither. Buffy's specialty is vampires. Her skill can keep her alive, but Jason can't really die. Taking him is one thing. Permanently destroying him is quite another. I don't think either one would win.
How about that?
There you go. I mean,
I accept the draw.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, we can't. We can't accept the draw, can we? Isn't that a thing?
No
draws.
Need a draw. But I forgot to read this a moment ago. I have Gina Ippolito could not be here with us, so do not be here expecting TV's Gina Ippolito to join us. She was a little bit under the weather. I hope I'm not giving up the farm on that. But so she was not able to join us. But she did send me a statement to read to the people.
Okay.
It says, to my supporters, thank you. I've spent most of my life dedicated to beating Ray, and I'm happy you could all be a part of that. To my detractors, say, cry harder. TV's Gina Ippolito.
Oh my God. I love
Gina.
That's
the most Gina thing you could possibly expect.
That was perfect. Right, yeah.
I'll read this next one though. Because we got an email. We do operate whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. And you are welcome to email us, you know, send us your demo. We got a demo. Sam, I mentioned this. We got a demo from a very, very young person.
Yes.
I don't know exactly how old he was, but maybe like 10, like a real youngster. And he
that
was
seems
phenomenal.
About right.
He was phenomenal. I did write him back. I don't know exactly how to proceed with a 10-year-old debater for who would win Masters.
Yeah.
I definitely want to talk to some parents first. I'm going to promise
for
you
sure.
that right now. I'm not about to be just engaging in email back and forth with the 10-year-old without the parents being involved. That gets you in trouble 11 times out of one. You know, don't do that. But I wrote back, and I wrote back. I thanked him for the email, for the wonderful demo, and I said, "Let's get your parents on board. Let's have a conversation and see what we can do." So who knows? We might have our youngest Who Would Win show competitor in history at some point in the future. But we got a lot to work out before then. We got Luke, but Luke is over here. Luke, who has a comment later, or an email later we're going to read. Luke has been emailing the show quite a bit lately. And Luke, I appreciate each and every one of them. I do eventually get to see them as they come across my desk from the board. And here's Luke's email. He says, "I have to admit that I was a little bit disappointed with which characters you picked for the first Shocktober episode this year." Luke.
Yeah.
Luke, my brother.
I mean, sure.
Trick or Treat is a wonderful movie, and the Leprechaun series is iconic, okay? But that being said, if you're not familiar with both of those, it might have been a rougher listen. Maybe.
Yeah.
He says, "Mostly because I never heard of those guys." Well, there you go.
There you go.
I'm hoping that we curate it, introduce it to you, and you go explore it on your own. However, he says, "You guys made up for it very nicely this week with Buffy versus Jason. In terms of Sonic stage ranks, I would give this episode either an A rank or an S rank."
Ooh.
Nice job. Also, this is a way I can cast my vote. It isn't. I will say that Buffy won this match. A, Buffy has had a lot of actual training and lots of creativity, and Jason is mostly an OP monster-esque guy on the most basic level. B, Buffy has three-dimensional characteristics that she can use to her advantage, but Jason is mostly one-dimensional and not even as much as Michael, but not as much as Michael Myers. There we go.
Interesting.
C, and finally, Jason has faced off against mainly defenseless teenagers, and Buffy is anything but defenseless, and she has taken down much, much wider variety of enemies than Jason. Vampires, demons, godlike beings, zombie robots, cyborgs, etc. On a nearly daily basis. Plus, Freddy versus Jason, that was an outlier, and those should carry less weight in a who would win battle. Oh, I guess there was a D in that. I just formatted it poorly. Hashtag Buffy wins this fight. Hashtag Buffy slays.
Nice. Nicely done. Yeah, there good points is. All around.
Matthew what Dawson just watched Trick or Treat for the first time because of the
Look
show.
At that.
And it was a super fun Halloween flick. That's right. It's very good.
I got to say that I have this, we use Riverside to do our thing. And without giving too much away here, it embeds on the other browser tabs as you're looking at stuff. And when that was really small, didn't look like it said flick. So anyway, let's move on. Wow. I was like, Matthew Dawson. Okay, it's everything's fine.
Welcome to Who Would Win Masters After Hours, where we just say anything.
All right.
Probably not.
Becky Damewood, speaking of saying anything, Becky Damewood says, Buffy. Short and sweet. Thank you, Becky.
Good. She made her point.
It's fair. It's fair. I get it.
Jason Santino says, Jason.
All right.
I like these. I like it. We can just hang right through them like that. That's phenomenal.
We got about 20 more where they just say the one thing, so we'll just do that.
I do try to curate. If you only say the name of the character, I do it once. I don't do it once every time.
That's the gag.
And that's for the listener's benefit. Yeah.
None of these say Sam. I'm so sad. Jake Donovan Irish says, Buffy is a god slayer. She is leagues above. And I believe that is, you know, that is where this debate led us to in the end.
Some of us. So Lindsay Hayes says, Buffy, even without her scythe, I think she'd destroy him pretty quick. If you give her Willow and Giles in the library researching it, it's over even quicker. Well, we don't do that. Give her the scythe and she takes it in nanoseconds. We're not doing that either.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Things, and you still
we definitely laid out in the show that she did not have access to the friends. I mean, Willow alone is like, I think Willow could have taken Jason, right? Like, That's its own show.
Oh my
God. I don't know.
Okay. Rematch next year. Willow versus Jason.
I mean, maybe. I think Willow could take Freddy. I'm just going to say things out loud, see if people get pissed off. So
yeah, man. Let's get some videos. We're building a new Instagram channel. We need some controversy.
There you go. The Snorks could kill Jason. There you go.
Oh boy. Sam, now you've gone too far.
Not even the Smurfs. Straight to the Snorks. Because they're in water. They're in water. And as we established during the show, at some point, this took a M. Night Shyamalan turn. And in spite of him living in water forever, it is now his weakness. All right, moving on. This is mine.
Spot point.
Mario Johnson.
Yes, it is.
I said Death Battle had, this is the second time Death Battle's come up with this one. Death Battle had Buffy beating Blade. Do she goddamn sure no diffs Jason? I don't know contextually what that means. Those are definitely words.
I'll just keep going. Louis Young. He says, Jason is my favorite monster. Yeah, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
But Buffy takes it.
There you go.
Well, okay.
Disappointing. You know, it is what it is. I mean, yeah, out of all the slashers, he's a classic. But yeah, Buffy. Classic.
Now, we got four Mortalverse Discord comments that Master Matthew Dawson was nice enough to send over to me. So Sam, why don't you lead us off there? Because these, I think, even add more to the deal.
Great. All right. Mr. Badger says, I got to say, Jason, while Buffy was able to take on greater and greater enemies, I don't think she's faced anything like Jason. Really?
Interesting.
That is interesting. I mean,
I agree.
I'll let Gina defend that, I suppose. But
we got Garrett.
She's got a long list on.
She's got plenty to say.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll make a Witching Hour New Rock Stars video about this battle.
That would be awesome.
I could use the publicity. Not going to lie.
Sure.
Garen Seho says, all of my Buffy knowledge comes from the recent death battle between her and Blade. Apparently that just came out and it's still fresh in people's minds.
Yeah.
I don't know. But based on the fact that she can beat Blade and her magic hatchet thing can cancel out healing factors and bypass magic, I'd say she has this in the bag. Okay.
I agree with that for sure. I mean, yeah, if that's the conclusion they came to, then that seems to hold strong.
Is it the bag that Jason wore on his head in Friday the 13th Part 2? Because if it is, there's a hole in it. I think that's a victory.
Okay. What is this? Chameleon Knight. The thing about Buffy. Should I do this? Should this be more of a Seinfeld? The thing about Buffy. Nah, it's terrible. Is that she is also inhumanly strong. If Jason does get a hold of her, she's got ways of getting free. Sure.
Yeah, maybe. We got DT Fultz, VA. Downtown Fultz from Virginia. Nice to see you. Jason is incredibly reliant on tanking through damage. So imagine fighting an opponent who can actually negate your healing and resurrection abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly which direction he means with that. I take that as he thinks Jason wins. That's how I choose to take it. Pretty sure that's exactly what he meant.
Is that how you take that? All right. We'll move on to you. Clearly gave me the longest comment possible.
I did. I want to hear you fumble.
And this is, I'll do this again in Seinfeld. Shockingly, this comes to us from Forbidden Mob.
Big fan of the show, and I'm a big fan of Forbidden Mob, just for the record.
And this is one of our Patreon comments. This was one epic spooktacular. Nope, I did it. He got me. He did Spooktober. I went to say the other thing, but I caught myself. This was an epic Spooktober matchup, even though that's neither of the things. What is near her?
Neither.
Neither debate or disappointed. Yeah, I think that's right. First off, what version of Buffy was used?
Yeah, we don't know.
That, because I think this is that became unclear as points were brought up using the show and some of the comic. I think she mostly went show and then delved into the comic at later points.
I think she was in the show. I do.
It seemed to me points from the comics should hold less value. I believe we did devalue those to an extent, including feats and the magic Sith. It's not like she uses it much or keeps it on her at all times to use on a random encounter. That's the one way Buffy could put him down at a random location with no prep. Ray's points made it clear. Jason, healing factors, durability, strength, and stealth using slasher portation wins. Sure, Buffy is quick and can fight, but how does she put Jason down for good? With outside interference? With a weapon she doesn't have? With an improvised weapon? Heck no. I didn't hear a good argument for restraining him. She doesn't know Jason might have a fear of... Oh, she doesn't know Jason might have a fear of water, which is very debatable. Even if she did restrain him in cement or whatever, he'd teleport out. Buffy goes to hell and Ray wins the belt. Good bout. Yeah. Sam, usually I'm with you, but Ray just won me over. Paul be damned, just like Buffy. All right.
Thank you, Forbidden Mind. That's the most sensible fair comment we've had yet. I'm sad
yeah,
I didn't get
fair
that.
Yeah.
We just throw them on a list and go back and forth, so I never know who's going to get which one.
Right.
Especially when we get this deep into it. Now, Matthew Dawson here in our chat wants to know, do you address which version of a character using a Masters? I think we imply it very heavily. I don't think we...
Yeah.
It's not as formal as it is was on the original incarnation of the Who Would Win show.
Right.
I think you could see I was using the movie version of Jason with some touch-ups where they're canon. From comics and such. And Gina was doing the same thing with Buffy, TV show with some comic book touches to fill some stuff in. And he does mention that I nerfed myself out of Uber Jason. I honestly didn't think I needed Uber Jason. I have a big problem with Jason Voorhees battles in general these days, because I think when we think of Jason, we think of the version that I was talking about. But Uber Jason, of course, exists, and he is a more powerful version, but he only existed for like 20 minutes of one of the movies, you know?
Right.
And it's not like that's not the iconic version of Jay. It is awesome. It's one of the coolest things that's ever happened in cinema. Let me start there. I would watch Jason. I might have to watch Jason X again for my Halloween list just to do it, even though I've seen it like a couple of maybe 1 or 2 years ago. I love that movie so much. I love it so much. I love it a lot, Sam Proof. It's one
okay.
Of
my oh my God.
Of all time.
Wow.
And
okay.
I don't think Uber Jason fits in a Who Would Win battle about Jason Voorhees. Because then sure. It just becomes about this 20 minute version of Jason over everything else he's ever done. And it's
right.
Just not as good, I don't think.
Yeah, there's not enough source material to work
that's
with.
That's how I feel. Anyway, I got one more of these, and then I've got a follow right. up. Eric Heiding. Welcome back, Eric. He did a great job on the show.
Yep.
To me, he says, it's just another day for Buffy.
Mm.
Jason will be a harder billion to beat. Don't know what that means. But maybe someone that could take a few episodes. Oh, I see. I'm going to read this verbatim, and then you guys tell me, because I'm already lost. To me, this is just another day for Buffy. Jason will be a harder billion to beat. Maybe someone that would take a few episodes or a season to beat him for good, but she would win. Even in a first encounter, a win for Jason would mean death to Buffy, and I think she would survive. She would be hurt. She'd take a few hits, but she would survive it. There you go. And then Lord Moxford sent us threads. Gotta love us some threads. You can always hit me up on threads at AlmightyRay316, the social media platform, threads. My favorite social media platform, quite honestly. And he just sent me a picture of somebody mopping a floor and then the word Gina written on the mop. And Ray written on the floor. It's a little visual for a podcast audio setting, but that is what Moxford wanted us to know about, and we have now done it.
That is.
So to wrap up the comments, the reviews, everything else, first off, thank everybody who reviews. Thank you very much to everybody who comments.
Yeah, thank you.
That I appreciate very, very much. But what I will say is, I don't want to talk about this anymore. We're going to an ad break right now. Hey, everybody, this is Ray from Who Would Win Masters, and I know that regardless if you're part of the Legion of Audience, Rainiacs, or even a Crit Master, you take your online privacy seriously. And if you haven't been doing that, I want to take a moment to talk to you about NordVPN, who helped sponsor this episode. I personally use NordVPN when I want to watch stuff that's streaming not in my region. That's why I got the service. I recently watched an AEW pay-per-view event that I was not able to stream here in Los Angeles. How did I do it? I used NordVPN to change my digital location. It was really easy to do, and it worked brilliantly. I wouldn't be talking about NordVPN if I didn't use it myself. Anyway, I just found out through this ad campaign that NordVPN did a collab with Marvel Comics to make a digital motion comic called The Only Certainty Is Change that features the Avengers. And I'll be honest, I thought it was some good fun. I got a big laugh when Tony Stark realized that he'd done messed up by connecting his Iron Man suit to a network without using a VPN. All right. I thought that was fun. Gold, honestly. But you can check out this full comic yourself no matter where you are in the world by switching your virtual location with NordVPN. We love Marvel heroes everywhere, but you can be a hero to your whole family by protecting them digitally with NordVPN. NordVPN protects your private data, passwords, and online identity from all those villains online. You know who they are. You can take advantage of the exclusive NordVPN deal right now at https://nordvpn.com/whowouldwin. Try risk-free with our 30-day money-back guarantee. You'll find the link in the description. Go check out that comic. It's a hoot. Is it just me, or every time we come out of an ad break, the cat yowls?
Yeah, that's right. She hates those. She's like, how dare you?
She hates ad breaks. What's going on with that? Anyway, we got other things to talk about here. We got an email. I'm going to read this here.
Yeah.
We got an email from a fan. You remember Luke earlier, Luke Westover. Mm-hmm. Luke, I appreciate the emails. Keep them coming. We can't respond to every single one of them, but we do read every single one of them. And when you have something extra to say, we've read your emails before on the air. We're going to do again right now. He says, I know that I'm probably a little bit late for this, but after having extra time to think about it, I can say this now. I absolutely enjoyed the Who Would Win Masters episode of Sonic the Hedgehog versus Goku. There you go, Matthew Dawson.
All right, look at that.
I've been waiting a very long time to see Sonic versus Goku. And while I'm still kind of disappointed that Sonic lost, Matthew's very disappointed in you personally. Goku is an excellent opponent to be defeated by.
Right. Sure.
And the fact that that episode now exists, period, is still fantastic. As Beerus from Dragon Ball Z Battle of the Gods would put it, it's my reward for being so patient. So thank you and everyone else involved for that episode, as well as just Who Would Win to the World. Snurts wants to know, is that Matthew Dawson in disguise? It could be. We don't know. I don't think it is, but I don't, non-zero chance that it isn't. Well, I can't fix the wrong opinions of your patrons, says Matthew Dawson. Luke, I don't think is a patron. Luke should be a patron. Luke, this is my personal challenge to you.
That's true.
Patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. $1 a month, and you can come. I'll let you vote in all the polls, and you can get all your comments read that way. And, you know, we'll be happy to make that happen. $1 a month. I extend that to everybody who's listening right now.
Get to join these wrap-up shows live as we record them.
$1 a month lets you join the show and talk to everybody then and be part of what we're doing here, which is sort of the goal, right? That's really what we're trying to do. Sam's got a lot more streaming experience than I do, but I can read things off a screen. I do know how to do that. Luke, Matthew Dawson says Luke should become a patron so we can vote for him when he brings Sonic back for round two on the Who Would Win show.
There you go. That's
Who
fair.
Would Win Masters, I should say. Sonic's been on the Who Would Win show twice, and he's 1-1. Now 1-2 if we combine it with this.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but that is just facts. Anyway, right. We're now going to take a moment, talk about what we're watching, playing, consuming. We are consumers at the end of the day. I'll start us off. I just last night, as we record this, started the season 2 of Gen V.
Oh, yeah.
The show based on The Boys. And I'm not in love with it so far. I really liked season 1 a lot. I really was bummed, you know, not as much for me as it, but for the world, that the main actor, whose name escapes me, but the best actor with the best character in season 1 tragically passed away from a motorcycle accident at a very young age and is gone, and they had to kill off his character on the show. And he was so dynamic and so talented. It's really like, man, that's the one. That's the one that's got to be taken from this world. Seems a little bit unfair. Yeah, and so they're navigating it well, but I haven't quite warmed up to season two yet. I've only two episodes deep. There's seven out. I'm probably going to watch another one or two after we record this, quite honestly. And all right. I'll report 2 weeks from now on. I'll be caught up by then. I like it though. It's a good show. The Boys TV show is a wonderful program. It's dirty. It's dark. It's violent. It's gory. It's everything, you know, fun about what you could do with the television these days. And I do think people should check it out. It's much better than the comic book that it's based on. I don't even think that's a hot take. I think that's a mild sauce from Taco Bell take.
Right on.
Comic book's got a lot of problems.
Sure.
The other thing I would add to this is I'm doing a rewatch of The Sopranos, the famed HBO mobster show from the late 90s, mid-aughts. And it's good. It's a good show. Seeing it 25 years later with very fresh eyes, seeing it as somebody who lives in Hollywood and has been in this town for almost 20 years now, it changes your viewpoint on things. And I'm seeing a lot more warts on the show than I did my first time through. And that's great. I'm definitely appreciating it. And I think it's a very good show. I could absolutely see how, in some ways, knowing what I know now about how TV production works and writing and everything and acting, it's just, it doesn't quite hit the same way, but that makes it still very interesting. So that's where I'm at. Sam, I've been talking for too long. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what you've been up to?
I did want to just point this out, just to be a horrible name dropper. I had to double check, but my friend and acquaintance, one of those, Judalina Neera, is actually a producer-writer on both Gen V and The Boys, and she came from The Flash. So yeah, at some point, if I ever cross paths with her again, I'll be like, you should, I don't know, write in more people with dreadlocks. No, I...
Hold on. Yeah. If we're name-dropping, my dear friend Jen Kane is a looping VO actor who is on both The Boys as well as Gen V. Anytime they do a Boys show, she gets brought in to do some kind of background VO stuff. You might know Jen Kane from an audio drama called Reclaimed Detroit.
Oh, okay.
Where she plays a character named Tori the Toreador. Mm-hmm. So there you go. You can hear the voice of Tori the Toreador from Reclaimed Detroit in the back. And I have heard her in a few scenes in The Boys and Gen V. So there you
go. That's awesome.
We all have people we know in production.
We're living in the world.
You know, and if I can give Jen a shout out, I'll give Jen Kane a shout out. She's phenomenal.
Nice. Matthew says, big fan of Reclaimed Detroit and Toria.
I'm working on episode 8 of that, Sam Proof.
Oh, nice.
The script's almost written, which means absolutely nothing, because we still got to get a lot more work done before it can come out. But I will say episode 8 is almost completely ready to go and send out to the actors. And that is an episode that first and foremost features Tori the Toreador. She is the main character of episode 8. So look for that someday.
Cool.
I'm still going to get it when I feel like it. Look, I don't have time crunches or pressure, so I just make it when I want to. And sometimes I don't want to.
Sure.
It must be frustrating for fans, but like, I got a lot of stuff to do, everybody.
Yeah. What is that? Snurch says, 2030, Reclaim Detroit.
Right. You know what? If that's what it takes, future generations will have it.
That's not that far away.
Be happy. No, it feels very far, but it feels all too close, unfortunately.
Sure. So this is the family section where I'll talk about what we as a family have been watching. So of course, we're still making our way through season 2 of Wednesday, which I've already seen. And I've definitely talked about previously on the show at least once or twice. I think we're a little over the halfway mark with that, so I don't want to get into any spoilers for anyone who hasn't caught it yet. But it is fantastic. It's super fun. We did just watch, and this is way beyond the limitation on spoilers, Ghostbusters Answer the Call, which this is the all-female cast. And I'd never seen it, and none of us had. You know, my wife hadn't seen it either, and she was like, we really want to see the new ones, but we're trying to get through all the other ones first. So we were like, yeah, let's check it out. And this movie notoriously got a lot of hate when it first came out. And I think it's great. I think it's really well done. It's what you want from a Ghostbusters movie. I will definitely say it is better than a Ghostbusters 2, which I like Ghostbusters 2. but not as strong as the original Ghostbusters by any standards. I thought Ghostbusters Answer the Call, which is basically a remake of the original movie with a lot of differences, but essentially that's what it does. It's well done. The cast is very funny. They, you know, play enough with some, you know, fan service. You get to see Bill Murray in there. You get to see everyone who's still alive was in there, essentially. Except maybe, I don't know, some random other characters like
Get Harold Ramis. Yeah. That was the disappointment.
No, you didn't get Harold Ramis.
I don't remember. I don't think
you didn't get him. You got the other three. But you also got the lady who played the receptionist in the first movie.
Annie Potts, famously.
Yes, Annie Potts. Thank you. And always fun. And it was great. It was a lot of fun. And even what's his name? Chris Hemsworth came in as the Annie Potts, you know, receptionist character, a very different take on that character. Kind of a dimwit.
He's a himbo.
Yeah. And it was just enjoyable. I have no complaints about that.
I saw that movie in theaters and I didn't like all the hate that it got. I thought it's a perfectly good
unwarranted
Ghostbusters movie.
For
I thought it was fine. Did I love it? No. Did it change my life? In no possible way. Did I enjoy it while I watched it? Did I get a lot of laughs out of Chris Hemsworth's character?
Yes.
Absolutely. Is Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy, are they both super funny and talented? Yes. They're very funny. They're very good. I liked them. Like I say, it's a good movie. It's not a great movie. And the fact that it got, you know, run by, you know, people that I would not agree with, and it got a lot of bad run on the internet, I don't think it deserved it in any way.
No.
And if it's a thing that you were interested in but avoided because you saw things online, make your own opinions up. What are we doing?
You're agreed. If you like Ghostbusters, go watch it. It's a good movie.
It's fine. It's good.
Yeah.
I got more here. I got scary movies. I'm watching scary movies. I'm behind schedule. I wanted to do 13 scary movies in the month of October, and I only have 6 so far. So I have less of the month than half. And I have less than half also of the number of movies yet to go. I have watched 6 movies. I'm going to say right now, I've watched Critters, 30 Days of Night, The Strangers Chapter 2 in theaters, Final Destination 4, Children of the Corn. Nobody told me Linda Hamilton is the second star of that movie. And then finally, I got suggested, we'll get into a person later, Butterfly Kisses, which is a found footage movie suggested to me by somebody we'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. And I have, in fact, I didn't connect with Butterfly Kisses, just for the record. I didn't.
All right.
That one did not do for me what I was hoping it would. And that's okay. But I need some more. Give me some suggestions. I want you to hit up Threads, hit up Patreon, throw me some suggestions of some horror movies to watch. I have some I already on my list, but I just need to do it, quite honestly. So I would love your suggestions. I will try to check some of those out. Let me know.
All right. You heard it here first for the second time.
That's right.
All right. So the other thing that we've been watching, I think we have one episode left on this. This is a serial killer series on Netflix, and it is called Monster, the Ed Gein Story. And I don't know, I feel like a lot of people are not familiar with Ed Gein, but he is the character, the killer, I should say, that some of the most notorious killer characters are based on. Norman Bates, based on this guy. Buffalo Bill, based on this guy. Leatherface, based on this guy. And this series, which is an amazing performance by God, I can never pronounce this guy's last name. Charlie, who is, he was in Sons of Anarchy. He was the main guy in Sons of Anarchy, which is how I know him. But he was also in some other things like Rebel Moon and King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, stuff like that. I think he's done, I've seen him more recently in something, but I don't remember what it was. But this guy who I thought like, yeah, he plays this tough biker guy. I didn't even recognize him for the first two episodes because he plays this character like the Of Mice and Men sort of very calm, like lispy. It is eerie to watch. And like, in fact, a few episodes in, I was like, we need to take a break from this show and watch something a little less crazy. And we just watched like the Blind Spot at that point, which is very procedural. And then I was like, okay, I'm good again. We can watch the rest. It is haunting. But the cool, interesting thing that they do with this show is, yeah, they're doing this, you know, fictional take on his life and running through his story. And it's all great in the way that they do just that. But they will come out of it. I would say break the fourth wall, but you're so taken out of it that it doesn't. Like, you're like, wait, what's happening? And suddenly you're matching frames of like Psycho or Leatherface, you know, or any of those modern day sort of takes. And it just weaves into that story, the story of how these other films came to be because of this legend. And it is so fascinating. It's just like, it's like every one of those things where it's like Hitchcock trying to get Psycho made. And like, people who don't know, Hitchcock revolutionized the way movies are watched with that movie. Previously, you would go to a movie theater and you'd be like, one ticket, and you just pop in at whatever time, and the movie is just running on loop. Hitchcock with Psycho was like, you cannot do this. There has to be a start time. Nobody can come in after that start time. And that is why movies are the way they are. So blame Hitchcock.
Wild. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's just stuff like that. It's just super interesting and so creepy.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I got one more. I don't know if you got any more, but I got one more.
I think that's it.
I'm playing. So if you don't know, I, for a long time, worked for a company called Games Workshop. That was my day job, working for the Warhammer 40K people, right?
Nice. You may
be familiar with this property. I had a very wonderful time with my time there. It ended at the right time for me, and I've done great things since then, it turns out. That being said, I have not, for the last 8 years since leaving that company, done miniature painting, building, wargaming. I've enjoyed it for a long time, most of my life, and I just... That company, I'm not trying to say anything about anything, but you grind it every single day for an extended period of time, and it tends to beat the joy of the hobby out of you eventually.
Sure.
And so I have not done it until I have a dear friend who's another gamer who got me into something called the Infinity Miniatures game, which is some beautiful models. It takes place in an alternate future Earth. A lot of stuff happens. There's mechs, there's aliens, there's like coalitions of humans that work together with future weapons. And I built and painted up an alien force in that. And I got to play a game of it a couple of days ago. And I will tell you, I had an absolute blast. The miniature wargaming hobby is very alive, very well right now. And it's fun to restoke a joy that I had not had in a long time. And I just want to thank my good friend Jorvik for bringing me into it and convincing me I should give it another go after so much time away. I feel very rewarded for the experience. And yes, we played two games and I got destroyed in both of them. Don't worry about that, but I had a good time playing and a good time hobbying. So
that's
great. Ask me more about miniature wargaming. It's fun.
Very cool. Yeah, I haven't painted miniatures in forever. I bought paints like a year ago and I'm like, I'm going to paint all my Zombicide miniatures. I primed some of them, and that's as far as I got.
That's good, though. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, there are techniques. Sam, we'll talk off air. There are techniques to get stuff painted very quickly and very efficiently.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
We'll call it tabletop ready, and you can do it, like, you can get figures painted in, like, less than 20 minutes.
All right.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. That's what I've been doing, and it's great. Anyway, here we go. We got a couple more things we're going to get out of here.
Yeah.
First off, movie night. All people on our Patreon, patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. I've encouraged you to join all this entire time. I encourage you to join once again, patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. We're doing a movie night this Friday. Friday night, that would be October 24th at 8 p.m. or maybe even 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to be watching a scary movie, and I've already said, I'm going to let the people decide. I don't know what we're watching. We're going to be watching a horror movie that takes place in space. Early front runners are, of course, Jason X, but we also have Critters 4, one of my favorites that I haven't seen in a long time. Leprechaun 4 in space. That one's ready to go. And I've also heard that there is a Hellraiser movie in space as well. I could at least offer it up. I think one of those first three is going to win. I would love that. And yeah, we're going to try to snurts, 7:30 works better. Yeah, of course. I'm going to try to do 7:30, but life sometimes gets in the way. We get in as early as we can.
Yeah, nice. Totally.
Actually, cool. He understands. And now it's time for the plug. Our next battle, Sam Proof. I'm excited about this one.
How much can I say about this? This is crazy. Go on.
We could say, don't spoil anything.
No.
But here's our next battle. It's going to be Blade. Blade. We just talked about it. Buffy versus Blade.
Weirdly.
Blade.
Came up a lot.
We're going a little off for Shocktober's finale. We're going a little off the map.
Yeah.
We don't normally have scenarios, etc., set up ahead of time. It's a neutral location. In this case, we're changing the rules. We're going to drop Blade in the middle of 30 Days of Night, the very famous vampire movie in Alaska. If Blade was dropped into the town of 30 Days of Night, who would win? Would Blade overcome the entire horde of vampires and their leader?
Right.
Or would they take the town? That's what we will be discussing. And our guest, very excitedly, is Mary Beth McAndrews from DreadCentral.com, the horror website on the internet. If you don't know Dread Central and you're a fan of horror, improve yourself. Go on there. They have all the news, all the info, all the opinion. And Mary Beth McAndrews, I'm very excited to get to
it's
talk
so
to
good.
Her. She's very knowledgeable. She's got a great social media presence. And she is just absolutely phenomenal every single way possible. I am a fan of Mary Beth McAndrews, and I am excited to do this episode. Sam, what can you say?
No, I am so excited that we're breaking format and trying something that's a little bit crazy, a little bit new. I think it's super cool. Again, Mary Beth from Dread Central is an awesome guest. Like Dread Central, like Ray said, they are the de facto horror website. They have been around on the internet as long as I have. And my friends, that is a long time. It's just everything about this is super cool, and I can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I see Dread Central referenced in like other things. They'll say, well, here's what Dread Central said about it. So you know that they're the authority. So look, when I said we were getting three phenomenal guests for Shocktober who were all horror related, I wasn't messing around. AJ Porfirio, the Van Ryder Games president and co-creator of Final Girl, the greatest board game I know. Then we got TV's Gina Ippolito, who is part of the new Rockstar's Witching Hour Horror channel with a Nightmare on Elm Street video you should definitely go check out. And now Mary Beth McAndrews from Dread Central. This is a stacked lineup, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not messing around with guests right now. I might later, but I'm not right now.
Yeah, like maybe for Thanksgiving.
That's right. Don't worry about Thanksgiving. We'll do that. Oh, and I do got to do a special plug. If you're with us right now, you can be with us for one more. My wife, Melissa Oakey, just launched a brand new YouTube channel called Who Wants to Do Some Math? It is it's for kids, but it's like sketch comedy and it's math based, but it is funny. And I am in some of the videos in the video that is currently out on the channel. So if you do a YouTube search, this is a personal favor you're doing to me. If you could give Who Wants to Do Some Math with Ms. Oakey a search and a follow, a subscribe, watch a video, leave a comment, leave a like. That is literally a personal favor you're doing for me, and I will appreciate that very, very much. Let me tell you, there will be a link in the show notes as well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good suggestion.
Nurse has got me there. Put a link in the there will be a link in the show notes of this episode. But if you just go on YouTube and search Who Wants to Do Some Math, it will come up, and I want to get as much support for this channel off the ground as possible. I will be in more episodes. You can see my phenomenal acting. I'm very talented. I'll just say.
Well, and also if you have kids from 8 to 12, this is the math that they're in. Yeah, get them to watch it, even better. And if you know someone who is a math teacher for those, that grade range, send that to them. We'd love, let's see what they say. All right, gang. We could keep going forever, but we actually can't. Our lawyers are telling us it's time. We got to wrap things up.
So
yeah, we have a hard out. Riverside is like, I have a date. So you guys get it done. Thank you so much for listening and join us next week for this battle episode. Super excited about it. You can keep the debate going at Who Would Win Show on Facebook and Threads, as well as over on our Patreon at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, where you'll be able to find the link to these wrap-up episodes and the movie night and stuff like that. And if you think you've got what it takes to be a part of Who Would Win Masters, record a 1-minute video demo of yourself and send it to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. And who knows, maybe we'll see you in the future in the Challenger's chair. For Who Would Win Masters, this is Sam Proof. Stay strong.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Erica.
And I'm Cassandra.
And we're the hosts of Trashy Trashy.
We're a podcast filled with trashy news stories and garbage people.
Did you leave the scene of an accident to go tanning?
Do you refer to wearing the strap down on your Crocs as sports mode?
Have you ordered Domino's online before they even open in the morning?
Are you switching the same AAA batteries from your TV remote to your vibrator instead of just buying more batteries?
Or are you normal?
Check us out wherever you download podcasts.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.